Welcome to the Benefits Beat, the podcast that helps you navigate the complex world of benefits and employee health. Together, we're going to deep dive into the industry, breaking down the barriers and exploring different topics surrounding benefits and employee health. We will be bringing in subject matter experts who will share their knowledge, offering tips and tricks to help you understand and, more importantly, benefit from your benefits. Whether it's health insurance, dental, vision, disability, or other lines of coverage, we've got you covered. So join your hosts, Caroline and Zach, every 2 weeks as we explain the nuances, all in an effort to make it easier for you to navigate the world of benefits and improve your health. All right, today, Caroline, we're just going to have a quick discussion about open enrollment. So we're going into open enrollment season here. Probably in the next month or so, employees are going to start seeing stuff from HR, seeing, hey, we're going to have XYZ changes. Just wanted to get your opinion, your thoughts, pick your brain a little bit on moving up to open enrollment. What should employees be thinking about? What should I be talking to my spouse about? What should I be talking to HR about, be on the lookout for, et cetera?
Absolutely. So I think there are a few things that employees need to be proactively thinking about, one of which is maybe taking a look at what their current plan is like and their utilization over the past year, because that can help make some educated decisions when perhaps new plans are presented at open enrollment, so you can kind of understand how you've utilized your healthcare this past year, what were your out-of-pocket costs, so you can maybe guess how much it will be for the upcoming year.
And when you say utilization, you just mean, did I go to the doctor? Did I have any prescriptions I needed to take? If I have any family members, do I have a spouse in the plan? Do I have kids? How often did they go to see the doctor, et cetera?
Yeah, just looking at kind of those general items. So how often were you going to the doctor and what were the costs? Because, for example, if you were on a high deductible health plan and you have two or three family members and you all were going to the doctor quite a bit, perhaps you had some high prescription utilization, that might alter how you approach your open enrollment decisions for the upcoming plan year, because you might be able to find a more cost-effective solution based on kind of what your family's needs are.
So let me ask you this, Caroline. Let's break this down a little bit into, okay, what's happening on the employer side that we may not know about, but right now they're going through all the processes of, do I send it out to market to try to get better rates? Do I change plan designs? All the different questions that they're thinking about. Is there any additional lines of coverage that I add? Do I take any away that people aren't using? Do I make some employer paid? All that good stuff. From an employee's perspective, I think the biggest things that they're going to be looking at during open enrollment is the plan designs and then the cost. And again, is that any additional lines? Do we change carriers? That sort of thing. When you're going through that, you're not going to know until you get the renewal stuff, right? You're not going to know until you talk to your HR team, until you have that education session with your broker. Ahead of time, when you think about, okay, what plans do I have and what do I need for next year, really the biggest thing that you're looking at is going to be the plan design, so to speak. So do you have a PPO? Do you have a high deductible health plan? Which of those is a better fit for me? That's going to depend on every individual person. But that's what you're talking about when you say, what do I have today and what do I need moving forward?
Exactly. So when we are thinking about plan design specifically, usually we are seeing employers offering one to two options, sometimes more, but usually we see that employers are offering a high deductible health plan, which can be compatible with a health savings account or a PPO option. Now, each person is going to think about these two options differently. So, for example, if I am a younger, relatively healthy person who doesn't really go to the doctor that much outside of maybe the occasional sick visit or my annual preventive visit, which is free because that's covered 100%, I might consider going on a high deductible health plan because my utilization is going to be rather low and it would give me the opportunity to take some of that additional savings that I might otherwise use on medical expenses if I weren't in the age and health position that I am and put that money into a health savings account to save for the future. On the flip side, if I am perhaps a younger individual and I am married and I have a few kids and they go to the pediatrician really often because of sick visits. Perhaps somebody has a high dollar medication that costs a lot per month to access. The PPO plan might look a little bit more attractive for me because you are looking at copays. So that's a fixed amount mm-hmm. for the services that you're going to be provided. Where on the flip side, that high deductible health plan, you're paying a negotiated rate between the insurance carrier and whatever provider or pharmacy that you are going to. And that oftentimes is a little bit more expensive. So for example, on a high deductible health plan, you might be paying upwards of $100-$150 every time you go to the doctor.
Right.
Whereas on a PPO plan, you're usually paying that fixed amount that's anywhere between $30-$50. So if you've got a few kids who are, you know, maybe in daycare, get sick a lot, you're going to the doctor pretty often. I can speak from experience. Having that knowledge of that fixed copay amount can sometimes make you feel a little bit more comfortable rather than upwards of spending maybe $300-$350 a month right. on sick care visits. So it depends, again, on a person's financial situation, what they're, you know, if they are on a high deductible health plan and are utilizing a health savings mm-hmm. account, what does that account balance look like? What is your ability to fund the account towards the deductible? So you want to look at those things. And I'm going down a little bit of a rabbit hole, but hopefully I'm kind of helping prove the point. Yeah. So I would recommend that at open enrollment, once you receive what are the options available, take a look at how much the premium is going to be. So what's coming out of your paycheck, add that up on an annual basis, and then also look at what your maximum exposure is going to be. So that maximum exposure is going to be either your deductible or your out-of-pocket maximum. Mm-hmm. So you're going to add those two together and be like, okay, worst case scenario on this plan is X amount. Worst case scenario on this plan is X amount.
Right.
And then it's kind of, as insurance is, it's a risk game. So what are you most comfortable with that risk?
And the trade-off on those is obviously traditionally high deductible health plans are going to be cheaper. And that's because you're taking on more risk as the employee, you're paying more out of pocket. So they're going to reflect that in the rates and what's ultimately taking out of your paycheck. If you're on the PPO model, traditionally they're more expensive. It's first dollar coverage, right? You have that set amount that might be $50 to go to the doctor versus $200 with a high deductible, so they're going to make you pay a little bit more out of your paycheck for the PPO.
Yep. So you're basically just kind of assessing how much am I liable for or what's yep. my maximum exposure and when am I most comfortable paying for? Right. Is that time of service or is it over time through my paycheck, yep. through my premium amounts and HSA contributions? So
exactly. And then let's talk about a little bit about the ancillary coverages, right? So outside of the health insurance, that's always the big one, but sometimes more important during open enrollment is the ancillary lines, the life insurance, the disability coverage, the dental and vision, you know, those sort of things. What I've found is that most people look at the health insurance, they may look at the dental and the vision, but the ulterior lines of coverage, they sometimes forget just because it's a smaller dollar amount, it's easy to skip over. During open enrollment is really the time to look at those and say, okay, let's say, for example, you have a pregnancy in the next 12 months that you and your husband or you and your wife are trying to get pregnant. You expect it to be within the next 12 months. It may be a good time to go ahead and look at short-term disability, any different policies that your employer might coverage or might offer coverage for, just for you to get some sort of paycheck relief during that pregnancy leave.
Yeah, so there are all kinds of different ancillary lines of coverage that your employer may offer. Dental and vision are kind of the two most common, and based on your need for the dental and vision services, usually easy no-brainer ones that you're going to be able to determine if you need for you and your family. The other ones that can get a little bit more tricky, and I would encourage people to ask questions and take the time to research what they are, do relate to the life and disability. So life insurance coverage, nobody likes to think about it, but what would happen right. in the event that you were to pass away? If you have a spouse or dependent children that are reliant on you for income, what does that look like mm-hmm. if you were to leave? So in most cases, employers offer a employer-paid benefit that's a flat dollar amount that your beneficiary would receive in the event of your death. But oftentimes that amount is, not to sound so morbid, but basically it's enough to kind of cover the cost of a funeral, maybe some mm-hmm. payments to get you by for a few months while you're adjusting. So mm-hmm. probably a good time at open enrollment is to see if there are any voluntary life insurance options. And what that means is you have the opportunity to purchase additional life insurance on yourself, your spouse, and your children. And the perk of being able to do that through one employer is that the rates are usually significantly cheaper than it would be to go out on your own. And pending what your policy provisions are, you can enroll without having to provide evidence of insurability, which means answering medical questions if you have anything going on. You're usually able to at open enrollment or at time of initial enrollment, when you're a new hire, able to access those benefits without providing evidence of insurability.
Yeah, and some people might be saying, I already take additional life insurance coverage. One of the things that they allow most of the time during open enrollment is for you to increase that, to your point, without any evidence of insurability. So if I have $100,000 in additional voluntary life coverage, I might be able to up that to $110,000 or $120,000. And over time, that adds up. But if you want to say, hey, I want to go from 100 to 500, they're going to take a breath and the carrier is going to say, okay, do you have anything that maybe you're trying to buy insurance for or something along those lines? So what I would encourage our listeners to do is, it's easy to forget about benefits until you need them during the year. This is the one time I'd really encourage our listeners to sit down with your spouse, sit down with anybody who's on your coverage, and really take, or even HR or our engagement team, and really take a look at, okay, here's what I'm expecting next year. Here's what I have currently, and is there anything else that I should be thinking about? Spend a couple hours on it. Don't just go to the open enrollment meeting and sit through it, listen to the cost increase, and go from there. Really sit down, take a look at, okay, what should I be thinking about moving forward in the next 12 months? But there's also, Caroline, some rates, so to speak, that once you're into that rate, it's locked. And there's different ways that it works out, right? When you get older and when you need insurance, carriers want to charge you more. But when you're young, you start paying in earlier, there's some opportunity there to get better rates for 30 years from now that might sound like a lot of money to quote-unquote waste, but it may be a good decision to do.
Exactly. The other two important pieces that I like to remind people of at open enrollment is looking at your short and long-term disability options. Many employers offer both short-term and long-term disability at no charge to you as the employee. So in the event you're off work for a limited amount of time due to a small surgery, pregnancy, maternity leave, those sorts of things, you will get paid a percentage of your income. Long-term disability, exactly as it sounds, if you were out for a longer period of time, unable to work, that benefit would kick in. Always a good opportunity just to make sure that those benefits are not offered to you on a voluntary basis, because you never want to be in a situation where you thought that your employer was paying for it at 100%, but it's actually something that you have to elect yourself and pay for out of your paycheck. Because if you do end up having something happen and you have to be out for a really extended period of time for like a cancer illness, cardiac illness, something of that nature and beyond, it can take a really long time to go through kind of federal disability to get approved for those types of things. So you want to make sure you have something to help bridge that gap.
And then there's always too, Caroline, one of the things that, again, I think people, it's just easy to move on and forget about until you need it, is all of the one-off insurances, so to speak, is the pet insurances, the ID theft, the legal shield, all of that good stuff. I know from personal experience, I should have looked at that more last year. You don't think about legal insurance until you need a lawyer, and then you go back and you realize how expensive they were, or how much cheaper you could have got them through your employee, so, or your employer, I should say. But all those little things, it's always something that we need to be looking at as employees to say, is there any reason that I need this, or is this just worth it to have that protection in place? I know identity theft is a huge deal right now. Everybody's always getting the scam callers, right, of, hey, you forgot your UPS package. That's always one of my favorite ones. But just options through your employer to get ID theft protection through a Norton by LifeLock or somebody along those lines that will help you in the case that does come down and unfortunately happens to you, that you have protection on the back end.
Yeah, and always a great idea to ask, because a lot of times employers will offer those options for you to purchase on a voluntary basis. And also a good time to ask at open enrollment is to see if any of your current carriers, so a lot of the carriers that offer life and disability products sometimes have some free options available to you as employees. So for example, life and disability carriers will often have some sort of version of a free will prep or free legal advice, and they also sometimes will throw in like a free basic ID theft protection. So some of that might already be built into the cost of something that you're either already covered for by your employer or that you're paying for out of pocket on a voluntary basis. So ask the question. This is a good time of year to do it when everyone's eyes and ears are tuned in to the upcoming, you know, renewal open enrollment season. Also, something to be aware of is that open enrollment is your only time to make these changes or make these elections. So outside of open enrollment, the only other time that you can make changes to your benefits is if you have something called a qualifying life event. And those are your big life events. So birth, adoption, marriage, divorce, loss of coverage through another source like your spouse, death even, all of these things would allow you to change your benefits throughout the year. But generally speaking, what you're making now for open enrollment is what's going to stick for the next upcoming calendar year. So take the time, ask the question so you can kind of set it and forget it for 2025.
That's a good segue. So we've talked about, right, there's so many different scenarios, right? They could add a different line of coverage. They could change rates. They could not change rates. They could change carriers, all of that stuff, right? That's going to come from your employee or your employer. The two things I wanted to focus on to kind of wrap this all up are, number one, what should I be on the lookout for? And then number two, how do I actually enroll in the coverage, right? I've looked at it. I want to have a PPO. I want to have the HSA. I want to take additional life insurance. What do I actually have to do to go in and say, okay, this is, I'm going to have this next year?
I will be on the lookout for any communication from your HR team or your employer about open enrollment. Usually they give you a window of time to make your elections. Typically, either your employer will host like an educational meeting or they will present you with some sort of material that has all the information. Everybody does it a little bit differently on how they provide their elections. So some people have electronic enrollment systems where you log in either through a separate system or you go into your payroll site to be able to make your elections, and it's open for a certain period of time. Information that I would have readily available to go if it's not in any of these sites already is kind of your spouse and dependents' names, dates of birth, social security numbers, all of that, so you're just ready to kind of input it as soon as you're able to make those elections. And that's kind of basically it. There are some employers out there, unfortunately, that are still using paper to make their election. So you might have a paper election form, and that's okay if that's the case. But usually it's probably going to be through some sort of electronic system to make your elections. And then if you need to get new ID cards because you're making a change, those typically come, you know, before the effective date, which for most of us that are listening in is going to be January 1st. Even these days, I encourage people to ask the question if you can access your ID card digitally. It's just way easier to have it at your fingertips on your phone or your tablet versus, you know, waiting for the mail to deliver those cards.
Right. I'll add two quick things. One is a shameless plug, and then one is just, so you mentioned, right, most people are not going to be active as soon as they enroll, and that's always a point I like to make is just, yes, you may go in November, right, and make your elections, but that's not going to be effective until probably January 1, to your point, right? So as soon as you go in and make those elections, you're not changing carriers immediately. You're not changing plans immediately. So just something to note, it may take a while, or not a while, but a little bit of time to actually make that change and when's effective, et cetera. And then the second one is my shameless plug. Make sure you're checking your mail if you do have any ID cards that you're expecting. A lot of times employees do miss an ID card that comes in the mail. Oftentimes it's in a blank envelope that's, it's not very clear what it is. They think it's spam mail. They throw it out. Just be on the lookout if you do expect an ID card. Any blank envelopes that you get, just check them, make sure it's not what you're expecting. Makes it a lot easier when you have to go to the doctor or dentist or whoever it is to just have that available. And then to your point, if you can get them digitally, great, but don't want somebody to be out without their ID card just because they weren't expecting in the mail.
Yep. And my last thing that I'll say before we call it a day and wrap it up is, you know, this is a great time of year just to check in with everything that you have, and don't be afraid to ask questions. It can seem really daunting when somebody throws a bunch of open enrollment brochures and benefit summaries. So use the resources, ask your HR team.
And use our engagement team.
Use our engagement team through Hub. We are always happy to help answer questions, and we act as an extension of your employer's HR team to be able to be an advocate and a resource for you guys.
Perfect. Well, thanks, Caroline.
Thanks.
Nothing we say in this podcast is representative of any specific plan and should not be considered as legal, regulatory, or accounting advice. If there are any discrepancies between what we say and your plan document will prevail. If you have any questions about your benefits, please reach out to your HR representative.